Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening?
Science isn't about facts. It's about what we want you to believe.
Somebody kill me!
Life Radio, where, you know, with all the protests, rioting, other nonsense that's been going on lately, we've been hearing a lot of the same old talk about white privilege and the need for those of us who are, how should I put it, pigmentally challenged. We should feel some kind of white guilt. Well, I, for one, being an old white guy, don't feel the least bit guilty about exercising my privilege to talk about personal liberty, personal responsibility, and personal accountability. I am, as always, your host, the Chief, coming to you from Portland, Oregon, where we actually officially gotten into summer, and it's actually kind of a summery day, although they're predicting more rain in a couple days. So I don't know what's going on with that. But if you'd like to join the show, the number here is 949-272-9588. So, okay. Today, I want to talk a little bit about white guilt and white privilege because, well, I'm not going to tell you anything you don't already know, deep down at least. Some people who may disagree with me may not want to admit they know this, but I'll just spell out. There's a couple simple facts of life. Number one, the concept of white guilt has no logical basis. Simple fact of life number two, white privilege, the way it's sort of portrayed, doesn't actually exist. This is kind of the way things are. Like I said, if you think about it, you already know this stuff. But since maybe you haven't thought about it too much, I'll spell it out. First, let's talk about the concept of guilt. Sure, guilt exists, but guilt is something personal. There's no such thing as group guilt. Now, I guess you could be in a group where everybody feels guilty, but still and all, the guilt is within you. It's personal. And you feel guilty if you did something to feel guilty about. It's about what you may have done that you regret. It's not something about what your ancestors did. You can't be held accountable for something that your great-grandfather did, your grandfather, your father, your mother, your brother, your sister. You can't feel guilty about anything that anyone else did. It's only about what you did. Maybe you felt guilty if you did something and you were a real a-hole about something. We've all been there. I've done plenty of things that I feel guilty about. Mostly when I was younger and stupider. In my old age, maybe I've mellowed out a little bit, but, you know, back in the day, let's talk about white guilt, racism. Have I ever done anything that was maybe a little racist, treated someone with less respect than they were due just because of their ancestry, the color of their skin? Sure, I'll admit it. I've done that. Like I say, it's been a while, years, when I was sort of maybe caught up in some of the emotions that people are caught up in today. But, okay. Yeah, I can, I'm not going to get into details, but I can think back to specific instances of my youth where I said things, did things, treated people in a way they didn't deserve. I feel guilty about that. But it's personal guilt. It's not a collective white guilt. Because, you see, if we're talking about racism, racism isn't about hating someone for who they are, hating someone for the color of their skin, their ethnic background, or anything like that, because it's actually okay to, if you want to hate somebody for who they are. But that's not what racism is, because you have a lot to say about who you are. There's plenty of people I might hate. Maybe David Duke. He's a racist, and I hate that idea. What's that guy's name? Guy from South Carolina that shot up that church. Should know his name. It's on the tip of my tongue. But you know who I'm talking about. I can hate him for who he is. But you have a lot to say about who you are. Who you are is defined by the things you do. And it's okay to hate someone for the things they've done, the things they do, but there are things, I don't know, you have a lot to say about who you are, but racism isn't about hating someone for who they are. Racism is about hating someone for who their parents are. You see, who you are is defined by the choices you make. Who your parents are, nobody gets to make that choice. You can't feel guilty about something you have absolutely no control over. But, you know, no, we're told otherwise these days. You see them all over the place. I guess a couple days ago, Eminem came out about how guilty he is about feeling white. And we've heard all kinds of people on the left that are white, and they just can't stand the fact of who their parents are, so they're supposed to feel guilty. If you don't like who your parents are, that's fine, but that's not your issue. It's not your problem. It's not something you had any choice about. But, no, they're trying to make it sound like we have to feel guilty, and so they're tearing down statues, defacing monuments. Yeah. And now we're getting to the point where we're even trying to, I don't know, obliterate anything, make it sound like someone's color really means Aunt Jemima, Uncle Ben. Did anybody care about the picture of someone on a box of pancake mix or rice? And just this morning, I saw the latest. Dreyer's Grand Ice Cream is now going to change the name of Eskimo Pie because, well, they feel guilty about that. No. Here's the thing. I've said this before. You can't judge someone who lived in another century by the standards of today. If people fought on one side of the Civil War that you didn't agree with, well, that was where they were. You can't judge them by today's standards. And you can't erase history. You learn from, if you disagree with what someone did, you learn from that. And you say, no, this guy was on the wrong side of history. But what happens if you forget history? Yeah, you know what they say. Those who forget history are doomed to repeat it. What's the good of tearing down statues and trying to erase history? But that's what seems to be happening. If I have time, I may get into a little of that later. I don't know if I will. But bottom line on this, white guilt, if it exists, it shouldn't, because nobody of any race should feel guilty about something that they had no control over. And that is a simple fact of life. Now, moving along, I've been hearing about white privilege. Well, I contend also that just as white guilt should not exist, white privilege, as it's portrayed, is something that actually does not exist. What you say? No. It comes down to the definition of the word privilege, because privilege is, I guess, most broadly defined as, well, you get something that somebody else doesn't get. Now, do white people get things that other people don't get? Maybe, but generally when you're talking about the concept of privilege, privilege is something that is legally, societally recognized officially. I mean, most common thing we hear about privilege is, well, you have a driver's license. The government says they own the roads and you don't have a right to drive on their roads, but if you go through the proper procedures, you will be granted the privilege of driving on the roads. That's what privilege is. Now, I can talk a little bit about color-based privilege because I know for a fact that it does exist. I've been on both sides of it, but I'm not talking about the color of anybody's skin. I'm talking about the color of their clothes. Because I learned a lot about privilege in my day in the Navy. You see, when you're a junior enlisted person, back in the day, you know, they wore dungarees and it was the Cracker Jack uniforms. But when you were an officer or a senior enlisted, you got to be a chief. Then you changed the color of your uniform. You wore khakis. So you had the color blue, and the color brown. People who wore brown got a lot of privileges. I mean, I knew that from as long as I was in the Navy, I saw that. But when I made Chief, it really came to me. I remember like the first day I was a chief and I had to go to the personnel place, and you know, I was on shore duty at the time, so it wasn't like on the ship where I knew a personnel. And I had to go to a place to get a new ID card because I was now a chief. Now, I'd been there for various thises and thats over the course of my time there. And, you know, you go there and you stand in front of the counter and you get in line. And, you know, sort of a DMV experience. Well, I went in there wearing my khakis, and I just walked in there, sort of sauntered up to the counter, and it's like, well, good morning, Chief. How may I help you? Yeah, when you're a chief, you get to walk to the front of the line. It's a privilege. I remember in Hong Kong, you know, and had to anchor out there, couldn't just walk off the ship, had to wait for a boat to come. Now, on an aircraft carrier, there's a lot of people, and the boat could hold a few hundred, but you got 1,000 people trying to get off the ship, and the lines could be pretty long. But every now and then, they had a special boat came up, a little nicer, more comfortable, faster boat. This was for the officers and chiefs. Yeah, you get a privilege, but like getting a driver's license, you get that privilege because you jumped through the hoops. You've done something to earn that privilege. And then you get it. Now, while I say there's no such thing as white privilege, I will admit there is, say, I don't know, how should I put it, white advantage. Yeah, in the United States, there's probably some advantages to being white. Now, like I mentioned earlier, who your parents are, which, you know, basically controls what color your skin is, well, that's something you don't have a choice about. But, you know, let's face it. If, you know, before I was born, you know, God took my soul and said, okay, it's about time for you to go to Earth. What color would you like to? How would you like to be born? What would you like? Well, I would probably say, you know, if I knew then what was going on, I'd say, yeah, I think I'd like to be a white male. And while you're at it, you think maybe you can have me born in Southern California? That's a pretty nice place. Yeah, why not? Yeah, could I get that? Well, okay, you know. The big fella liked me for whatever reason. But, you know, that was kind of a long line. You know, if I'd have said, hey, I want to be a black woman in Rwanda, that would have been a pretty short line probably. But nonetheless, I wasn't given a choice. I was born from the parents that I was born from, and that's what I got. No privilege there, not based on the color of my skin. Now, is there any actual legally recognized privilege based on race? Well, yeah, there is. But it ain't a white privilege. Ever hear of affirmative action? Yeah, that's where some people, based strictly on their color, ethnicity are given privileges, preferences, things that people of other ethnicities aren't given. That is a genuine privilege. But I ain't heard about no white people getting none of that. I mean, if I was, you know, black, maybe I could try to get a job somewhere and they'd be looking at, we need to fill these quotas so that we look like we're, you know, not prejudiced, doing all the right things. So we'll hire this guy even though there's an equally qualified white guy. Well, tell me this. Do you think if I applied for a job at, say, Motown Records, you think that they'd be looking at there and say, well, yeah, wow, we need to hire this guy because, yeah, we're not diverse enough here. We need to get some white people in to, yeah. No, I don't know. I kind of doubt if that happens very often. You see, privilege exists, but, you know, legally speaking, there's no such thing as white privilege, and, you know, even other privileges are not necessarily, you know, say the not legally recognized privileges that we know exist. Are these based on race or mostly other things? I'd say other things. Your family connections give you privilege. Your family's economic status gives you privilege. But let me give you an example here. I'm going to talk about a few people here, just for comparison. I'm going to talk about four young women, two of which I know quite well, the other two I've only heard of, but two sets of sisters, roughly the same age, early 20s, mid-20s, something like that. Two of them I will refer to as Chiefette number one and Chiefette number two. These are my daughters. Now, were they born into privilege? Well, more than some people. I was able to do adequately well in my life, but they never went hungry. They always had a roof over their head, clothes on their backs. They always had everything that they really needed and a few things that they just wanted. So they had some privilege. And yes, they were white. Is that white privilege? Let's talk about the other two women. Sasha and Malia Obama. They're not white. But do the Chiefettes have more privileges than they do? I think not. Neither of my daughters just got to walk into no Ivy League university because of who I was, what I could provide, my name, my connections, because I ain't got none of those. But those two young black women, and I have nothing against them, but they lived a privileged life. Is that black privilege? No. It's Obama privilege. It's family connections. They were born into privilege. So, does white privilege per se exist? I don't think so. But let's think about this. We've got Black Lives Matter. Now, there's a real privilege just for being black. You can say that only black lives matter, and anyone who even says that people should be treated equally is somehow persona non grata. You can't say that. You can't say all lives matter. That's a privilege, not a white privilege. Now, I don't know. Enough about all of that. I want to just, in the last couple minutes here, I want to follow up on something I said last week, because I saw an article written by one of my favorite commentators, who posted a couple of days ago, Wayne Allen Root, who is the Libertarian vice presidential candidate in 2008. He's Jewish, and he really put out some, I don't know, kind of frightening comparisons, because we see these anti-fascists, so to speak. He pointed out that what's going on in CHOP, CHAZ, whatever you're calling it, places like that, Pioneer Courthouse Square in Portland, all over America, cities with what's going on lately, it bears a remarkable resemblance to what happened in the mid-1930s in Germany. They called it Kristallnacht, Night of the Shattered Glass. Stores were looted, burned. People roaming the streets, demanding that people bow to them, do what they say. Censorship. Book burnings, tearing down statues, erasing history. Media manipulation. And the saddest part was there were plenty of good people who knew what was going on, but they didn't do anything about it. And what do we see happening today? Now, people are looting, burning, rioting, and the media, mayors, some of the good people are telling us that this is acceptable. It's not acceptable. The history is repeating itself. What happened in Germany is starting to happen in the United States. And they're trying to tear down history or abolish history, rewrite history so that we won't remember and so that history can repeat itself. All right, I am about out of time here. Say hi to Tim, who's joining me in the chat room, and he's coming up in just about 30 minutes from now. Tap into the truth on Blog Talk Radio and other places. And I am out of here. I will see you next week.
Sailing out on the sea, make a sailor so lonely. About her, thinking now about being.